Bible Basics, Study 7, The Origin of Jesus. 7.3. Christ's place in God's plan. God does not decide on his plans on the spur of the moment, devising extra parts to his purpose as human history unfolds. God had a complete plan formulated right from the beginning of creation. John 1, verse 1. His desire to have a son was therefore in his plan from the beginning. He loved that son before he was born, just as parents may love a child still in the womb. The whole of the Old Testament reveals different aspects of God's plan of salvation in Christ. We have frequently demonstrated that through the promises, the prophecies of the prophets, and the types of the law of Moses, the Old Testament is constantly revealing God's purpose in Christ. It was on account of God's knowledge that he would have a son that he brought creation into existence. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the Greek text, by, in the King James Version, is better translated on account of. It was on account of Christ that the ages of human history were allowed by God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. In the Greek. It follows that God's revelation to man down through the years, as recorded in the Old Testament, is full of references to Christ. The supremacy of Christ and his fundamental importance to God is difficult for us to comprehend fully. It is therefore true to say that Christ existed in God's mind and purpose from the beginning, although he only came into existence physically through his birth of Mary. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 to 7, verse 13 and verse 14. Stress that Christ was not an angel, whilst in his mortal life he was less than angels. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7. He was exalted to a far greater honour than them, seeing he was God's only begotten Son. John chapter 3, verse 16. Christ did not exist as a spirit before his birth. First book of Peter, chapter 1, verse 20, sums up the position. Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. Jesus was the central pivot of the gospel which God had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made, created by Begettel, of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. This summarizes the history of Christ. Firstly, promised in the Old Testament, that is, in God's plan. Secondly, created as a physical person through the virgin birth as a seed of David. Thirdly, due to his perfect character, the Spirit of holiness, shown during his mortal life. And fourthly, he was resurrected and again publicly declared to be the Son of God by the Apostles' Spirit-gifted preaching. The foreknowledge of God. We will be greatly helped in appreciating how fully Christ was in God's mind at the beginning, while not physically existing, if we can come to terms with the fact that God knows all things which will occur in the future. He has complete foreknowledge. God can therefore speak and think about things which do not exist as though they do. Such is the totality of his knowledge of the future. There is strictly no Hebrew word for promise, only a word. So sure is God's word of promise of fulfillment. What he says is as if it has happened. Thus God speaks of those things which be not, as though they were. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. He can therefore declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Because of this, God can speak of the dead as if they are alive, and can speak of men as if they were alive before birth. He can speak of a day coming as if it has come. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 8. Ezekiel chapter 7, verses 10 and 12. The counsel, or word of God, had prophesied Christ from the beginning. He was always in God's purpose or pleasure. It was therefore certain that at some time Christ would be physically born. God would fulfil his stated purpose in Christ. The certainty of God's foreknowledge is therefore reflected in the sureness of his word. Biblical Hebrew has a prophetic perfect tense, which uses the past tense to describe future things which God has promised. Thus David said, This is the house of the Lord God. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 1, when as yet the temple was only promised by God. Such was his faith in that word of promise that David used the present tense to describe future things. Scripture abounds with examples of God's foreknowledge. God was so certain that he would fulfil the promises to Abraham that he told him, To your seed have I given this land. Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. At a time when Abraham did not even have a seed. During this same period, before the seed, Isaac and Christ, was born, God further promised, A father of many nations have I made you. Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. Truly God speaks of those things which be not as though they were. Thus Christ spoke during his ministry of how God has given all things into his, Christ's, hand. John chapter 3, verse 35. Although this was not then the case. You have put all things in subjection under Christ's feet, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. God spoke about his plan of salvation through Jesus by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Luke chapter 1, verse 70. The prophets have been since the world began. Acts chapter 3, verse 21, Revised Version. Because they were so closely associated with God's plan, these men are spoken of as though they literally existed in the beginning, although this evidently is not the case. Instead, we can say that the prophets were in God's plan from the beginning. Jeremiah is a prime example. God told him, Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Thus God knew everything about Jeremiah even before the creation. In like manner, God could speak about the Persian king Cyrus before the time of his birth, using language which implies he was then in existence. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 to 5. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, is another example of this language of existence being used about someone not then born. In the same way as Jeremiah and the prophets are spoken of as existing even before creation, due to their part in God's plan, so the true believers are spoken of as existing then. It is evident that we did not physically exist then, except in the mind of God. God has saved us and called us with an holy calling according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Second book of Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The whole idea of individuals being foreknown by God from the beginning and being marked off, predestinated to salvation, indicates that they existed in the mind of God at the beginning. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Romans chapter 9, verse 23. In the light of all this, it is not surprising that Christ, as the summation of God's purpose, should be spoken of as existing from the beginning in God's mind and plan, although physically he could not have done so. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus did not die then, literally. He was the Lamb of God, sacrificed about 4,000 years later on the cross. John chapter 1, verse 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. In the same way as Jesus was chosen from the beginning, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, so were the believers, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. The same Greek word for chosen is used in these verses. Our difficulty in comprehending all this is because we cannot easily imagine how God operates outside the concept of time. Faith is the ability to look at things from God's viewpoint without the constraints of time.